have horses, and they have horse conventions. And they have cows?
Nope.
In that area?
They ain't putting that horses either. But cows is what started. We already made a mac for a couple of days. That's what you said was what it is.
Where you from now, CJ?
That's all you can do.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah,
you sell them like I guess.
3 months.
I don't have time to get him. You got to
be in that chair. But he's got kind of close. He's running on my clock. He's running on
your 3 minutes.
Right across from the big Boy Scout.
I have a girl.
And Rebecca, yeah. Yeah, we go there all the time.
Call this meeting of the Board of County Commissioners to order. If you will, if you place your cell phones on silent or vibrate or turn them off, and stand with us for the prayer and the pledge.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion that allows us to make the right decisions for our county.
Yes.
And continue to remind us that all that we do here today and all that we accomplish is for the greater glory of you and your will. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to welcome everyone that came today. And again, if you would like to address the board, fill out a speaker card for us, and we would be glad to hear from you today. Everybody had a chance to go over the agenda, and Chair accept the motion on the approval of the regular agenda.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes unanimously. Consent agenda. Would anybody have anything to be removed from there? If not, the Chair would accept a motion.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Don't have anything on my committee reports. Don't see any constitutional officers besides Al in here that would like to speak. And with that, we would have Chief Judge Lott, please. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Manager, Mr. Attorney, Madam Secretary, thank you all for putting us on the agenda tonight. I wanted to say I'm delighted to be here. It's always a pleasure to be in Baker County. If you will forgive me, I hope, for having a cough drop in my throat and having my little water glass here, because I do have a little bit of a cough, and I have some things I want to say, and I hope I don't run out of steam before I get there. But if so, it'll just move the meeting right along, as you are already doing, so it'll be in tune with your normal agenda. I'm here to ask you about the memorandum of understanding between the Board of County Commissioners and the Chief Judge that has to do with the master plan for the courthouse block. And to kind of preface that, I want to say that I've been involved in this process since about 1996, when I was elected as a circuit judge. You know, the 8th Circuit covers 6 counties. Baker County is one of the counties that I was running in when I had been a county judge, wanted to be a circuit judge, and I received a lot of support from Baker County, and I appreciate that, and that's why it's always a pleasure to come back here. Also, because Baker County is a lot like Taylor County to me, which is where I grew up, and when I see your emblem back there, it looks just like Taylor County to me. Water, woods, wildlife, and good people and fresh air. So I feel at home here. I want to say that I am talking to you from what I believe to be all of our needs, the people's needs. When you say preparing for the future, as well as preserving the past, as well as preserving the culture and heritage, that's what I personally believe in also. But back in 1997, when I was a brand new circuit judge and was assigned to Baker County, I had a case in the old county courthouse involving a man that was in a wheelchair. And he could not get to the courtroom because the courtroom was on the second floor. That was, that's difficult circumstances. And we made the accommodations that we could. And we held the trial in a room on the first floor. And we were, he couldn't get around. We were doing the best we could. And in the trial, he started raising his hand. He had a lawyer. I kept saying, sir, you've got to speak through your attorney. You've got to speak through your attorney. Trying to conduct the proceedings properly. And eventually, to my embarrassment and delay and dismay, he said, Judge, I have to interrupt you. I have to go to the bathroom. Well, of course, we recessed the proceedings and tried to let him get to the men's bathroom. He couldn't get in the men's bathroom. It wasn't wheelchair accessible. He had to go in the ladies' bathroom, and he couldn't get the wheelchair in to the stall. So we basically had to give him a guard to give him a little bit of privacy. It was a bad situation. The entire court system felt badly for him, felt badly that we were in that circumstance. And, of course, it was against federal law at that time because the ADA had already been implemented. So we're going, this is not good. Now, that was a little piece on a long, long road, because about that same time, the chief judge at that time, Bob Cates, was working in all these 6 counties. We've got 5 rural counties that did not have big budgets and had that same kind of need. And he was seeing the needs in his circuit, and he was going to the legislature saying, you have got to help the smaller counties. You have got to provide some money to help them over the hump, to give the people what they need, to be in compliance with the federal law, and to let us hold court in a manner that is deserving of the dignity of the people. Lo and behold, he got that legislation passed. And if you look throughout the circuit, every one of the five rural counties that make up the 8th Judicial Circuit had courthouse funding and made courthouse improvements and made ADA accessibility and those kinds of things happen. And that's one of the ways that we got the new courthouse in Baker County. Beautiful that it is. And then, along that same line of, you can imagine, you know, how many meetings and how much travel to Tallahassee and, you know, how much time and planning was spent when you look at all those courthouse facilities. Two additional grants were given to Baker County. One for $300,000, one for $500,000. Ted, did I get the numbers right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this happens over a process of years. And it's not free money, and it's not uncontrolled or unmonitored money. It is given by the legislature to the Supreme Court, and then is applied for by small counties, working, you know, the county working with the court to say, where is it needed and where can we best utilize these funds to prepare for the future? And how do we make this work for everybody while we're keeping an eye on that bottom line and budget? Because, you know, there's not a lot of money floating around anywhere, certainly not now. So what OSCA did is they said, you know, the chief judge is responsible to confer with the county commission to come up with a plan for how these funds are going to be utilized. And these are a lot of committed, hardworking, elected and appointed individuals who have got the data available to them to make the best possible plan. We come up with a master plan saying, over time, the courthouse having to expand, competed on the old jail space, we've got public defender needs, state attorney needs, clerk needs, these things will have to be addressed in preparing for the future. Well, how do we do that? We do that by looking long range and going, what is the most efficient, best possible layout for these needs and services? And how can we prepare and plan ahead? Also, if you look around the circuit, you'll see that some counties planned better than other counties. And Baker County is one of those counties that has the best possible plan. And it took a lot of work. Some of you over the years have been involved in that work, as have I, and as have 4 chief judges now have been working on this same plan. It has been delayed. The master plan has been delayed in implementation. Well, why? We have the two grants. We have 3 signed memorandum of understandings signed by 3 different chief judges, signed by multiple different county commissioners, all of whom have looked at the plan and said, this, based on all the information that we have available, based on what we know the needs are going to be over time, this is the best possible plan we can come up with. But it has been signed 3 times and has slowed down. Well, why? Because the economy has taken a nosedive, and it has slowed down the ability of the country to make progress. Is it killing the ability to make progress? Absolutely not. This country is going to survive, is going to recover, but we, of course, have to do that in the best possible way that we can, every step of the way. That does not change the master plan. The master plan was projected 15 years out. It was not intended to solve all the problems of first year. It was intended to be made in incremental steps. And we have made some good progress. But I have to ask you, gentlemen, when we're going to take the next step along the road that has been agreed to multiple times, has been delayed, but for reasons, but has been confirmed over and over and over. I want to make sure that I have covered everything. and I want to make sure that I answer any questions that you all have. And then I want to ask you two things. I want to ask you to please do not shrink from the responsibility of making the hard decisions. And do not tarnish the credibility of the county commission here and what the county commission here has agreed to do. I know that you have, in this county, always led with vision. And I know that these are times when some people react with fear. So I ask you to make the smart choices, take the leadership role that you are confirmed, appointed, and elected to take, and proceed with the memorandum of understanding. If I can answer any questions, I will be glad to.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, Judge Lott, over the past, I guess, 18 months or so, I too agree that the board should move in the direction to with the agreement that the previous board had entered into. But my question to you is, what would be, if I hear you right, you're saying progress, action as opposed to inaction, what would be an acceptable time frame for the completion of this particular part of the memorandum of understanding between the two?
Whatever reasonable amount of time it takes to get the job done, of course. Whenever something is going to be created, whether it's a new computer programming system, whether it's a new building, whether it's a new concept, write a new law, it takes a certain amount of time to make sure you have it right. It takes a certain amount of time to go from the beginning to the end and have it come out to be the way you want it to come out. So when any of us are working on a problem to get it done, to me, that is an indication of an acceptable timeline. I don't have a day, I don't have a month to ask you to accomplish. I ask you to act. And if you tell me where I think, and this is the timeline, I will say, thank you.
I have one other question, just for point of clarification, I guess, is in the agreement, basically in a nutshell, the way I interpret the agreement is that it's every building on this block, from this street, from east to west street, north to south street. We're talking this block. Is that in all buildings there?
That's correct.
Okay.
And, of course, some of the reasons that was originally done is because Baker County looked at other counties across the state and said, you know, some counties have ended up filling up the close space and ended up putting the state attorney's office way down the street. And then you've got driving and traffic and parking that is extra. And those kinds of problems are normal for county commissions to have to solve. Only thing I'm asking you to do is don't solve the same thing over and over and over by not following the original plan. But that's why it was all intended to be housed on one block, is because ultimately that's the most efficient design.
Anything else? Anybody else have questions for Judge Lott? Judge Lott, I've been on this board the entire project also, and for the life of me, I couldn't remember giving up the jail until I read the document again, and it's on there, and so I'm not arguing with black and white, but what didn't make sense to me thinking that way was, you know, we just spent several hundred thousand dollars renovating the jail, so we could possibly use it to save us some money on our corrections budget, just to turn it over to the judicial system. That was that confused me again. I feel the board is working toward that goal that you're asking us to do. And I think you hit the nail right on the head when you stated how tough and difficult these economical times are right now, because we're looking at, you know, possibly having to either borrow $500,000 to complete the project. At the same time, we're looking at any buildings that we own now in the county that we might be able to renovate instead of having to take a loan to support the project, because we're pretty sure that the money that we have, that we do appreciate, is not going to pay for it. And so we're looking at every avenue. I know as a whole this board is, and we have County Manager Thompson is on board. We're trying to come up with feasible plans not to have to borrow money to complete this project. But I feel like the board is moving in that direction, and I think we will continue to. I think I could tell you that. I think you're being more than fair, giving us opportunity to, as long as we're making progress and we can show you that we're making progress, that you will extend our time frame. I think that's what the board wants to do. And I don't know the real concrete answer to give you. This is what we're going to do right here today. But I do know that we have to do something. And I think we're working in that direction. I'm not sure what it's going to be right there. Anybody have anything else?
Mr. Chairman, I agree with all of your comments, and one step we could try to do is maybe either this board discuss this or have a workshop on it, or form some committee or task force. Maybe somebody from the community, a business person, would want to sit on it to help us get ideas on what to do, because we're looking at spending $800,000, but we're going to have to add $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 to it, and it's a very tough decision. Do we want to do that, or do we want to renovate something, like you said, another building? I think that would show good faith effort that we're going to start doing this and get it done within the next so many months or some time frame. I think Commissioner Anderson's got the building experience. If he wanted to serve on it, or I would love to serve on it, or either this whole board do it. That's just my input on it, and we can start there.
Mr. Chairman, I have already been doing some investigating, and I've been working with the county manager so he can do some investigating on some sites that I've seen that might be good for us, which we could get in, maybe pay it off, and then renovate the building and then move into the building. I know that we're working on that now. I haven't heard anything else back from that situation, but I agree with the chairman here. Right now I don't see where the county can afford to go out. I mean, I agree we should honor what the commissioner's done here, but I just don't see where the county can afford to go out and build a whole new site, new road work, and I mean, you're talking a lot of money. But I do want to honor what we should do, you know, and if you could give us a time, and you say that you're doing that, so we're working on it, and we've been working on it. I know since I've been a commissioner, I've been working on it. I've talked to CJ several times about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, because I'm looking at the numbers and the budget, and I don't want to go to the citizens and tell them they're going to have to come up with so much money and then let's turn around and build a whole new building and all that. It just don't look good, you know. So I think we need to honor it, but I think we need to have a little bit of time to work on the issues and the things that we're working on instead of just going right on out there and building a new building. The loan value, I think, is going to be closer to $1 million than $500,000 to do what we got to do out there. And I'm not so sure that I'm excited about that with the economy the way it is. And I'm not trying to get out of our obligation, but we are looking for other avenues, you know, that we can maybe do for right now. And we appreciate your patience.
at the same time, I think we want to do what you're asking. We want to look at the big picture. You know, we don't want to move into a small building and renovate it when it's not going to serve our needs 5 years from now. To me, that would be just throwing good money after bad. But we're going to have to meet somewhere that will plan.
Pardon? I think the committee would be a good idea. I mean, to have a group and let them look at every option. I know we had a committee to support expansion, so let's see, come up with a plan. So that might be a good way to go.
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to say this as politely as I can. We got $800,000 in this agreement, and I realize this has nothing to do with, this is something the board needs to handle. I think we're all in agreement we want to go with the and see that the agreement is followed through with. This board received $800,000 worth of grant money. To date, well, there's $689,000 left in the account, so we've spent somewhere around $111,000 on that piece of property right up here.
5 acres.
The 5 acres. This past year, when I was in your position, on numerous occasions it was discussed when we talked about the plans. I ask, is everyone up here on board with moving forward with the construction of the new county administration building? And everyone agreed. The plans come before the board. We didn't care for the plans. We didn't think they was efficient enough. We then directed the county manager to get with Mr. Casper, and we spent another $20,000 for a second set of plans, which come back before the board. The board looked at the plans. We all liked the plans. We all said that, and once again, I ask, does everybody feel comfortable with these plans? Are we okay with it? The answer was yes. We've spent $111,000 of this money, and now we say, not so sure about that particular site, not so sure about the plan. That should have been done $111,000 ago. I understand the concerns of the board. I do. I have the same ones. We have a building in our county that the county owns that generates $14,000, roughly $14,000 a month income. You will not borrow money no cheaper at any time than what we could borrow money for today. We have a source of revenue to make the payment on it. With the building that's currently leased, I don't know, it's probably 20, I think it's about 20 something years left on that lease with the Postal Service. My whole thing is we've already spent money preparing this site. Whatever the direction of the board, I mean, I'm just one, but was that a good investment of $111,000? We know that the Board of County Commissioners is going to exist for an extended period of time. So that throws out a lease or rent option, I would hope. So we know that we need to own wherever we're going to be. There's plenty of room there, but we already own the 5 acres of property there. So I just couldn't sit here and not say that with all the discussion about all these alternate sites and this, that, and other, to remind the board that we have spent $111,000 already. And on numerous occasions throughout the past year, it was discussed in the meetings. I want to say we even had a workshop on it, if memory serves me right. And the board agreed that that was the direction to go. Whether the answer is borrowing the money to make up the difference, or whether we go to Bennett's Feed and get one of the little sheds and use it instead, whatever. I've urged the board to continue to move forward with the project that we have already made an investment in. To even begin to look away from that investment you already made, to me, it would not be wise. So I would just ask the board to continue to move forward with what we already Mr. Casper, I got a price on that. You know, it's going to be roughly $1.4 million, 18 months to construct is basically where we're at with that. And, you know, and the 1.4 is dependent upon, and the road department could do save some money, quite a bit of money by doing a site work with what they could do. There's some parts of it they can't do. So I would just ask you to reflect on that and to remember that we've already been down this road. And, you know, as long as we keep going back in the ring, we're going to keep getting bruised up and it's going to keep costing money. And before long, a majority of the $800,000 is going to be gone and we still are not going to be anywhere. So I would just ask you to remember that.
Thank you, Michael. And I respect your position, and I'm not in a disagreement with you, but when something is brought to our attention that this is a potential solution or a potential option B, I think it's wise for us to investigate, look at it. And when I did, I looked at some of the numbers that you're talking about. Well, you do that, you're losing $14,000 income right now. Right, just number one thing. I mean, so you know,
how are we losing the
four? If we was going to take the Postal Service building, I mean, you lose $14,000 a month right there. So to me, you know, it's like that doesn't sound like a really good plan, unless they're going to give it up anyway, unless they're going to renege on their contract. Now, if they are, then I think we need to look stronger into looking at that, because we're going to lose that money anyway. And I don't know anybody that's beating the door down to spend $14,000 a month to rent.
Post office.
So that's the reason I want to look at the avenues that's presented to me. You know, just like the Ag Center, we looked at that and we got Jimmy's opinion that, you know, that would be a nightmare. You just about have to tear the thing down. And you're looking at doing something that we already got property to build on. And so, again, yeah, I told you I'm in agreement, sitting right here on this board. And I'm not against that plan, but I think we should investigate, look into every option that's brought to our attention while we do still have, and I understand $100,000 that's already been spent, I got that part. But I think we have to look. And I know you're going to say, well, when are we going to quit looking?
Well, no. What I'm going to say is that sometimes some things are obvious. It's obvious that, to me, the post office location, that was built for a post office. I agree. If they was to pull out today, we'd lose that $14,000. There's no indication that that is their plan. That is the biggest post office in our county. I don't think that would be prudent on the post office's part. They hadn't done much that's been prudent lately. I understand that too. But the location is a nightmare as it is. The building is designed for mailboxes. There's no room for future growth. There are so many obvious things that make that just impractical. Now, if you was talking about the fairgrounds, it'd be different. You got a big building there, you know, something like that. Yeah, the Ag Center, it's one of code enforcement inside of us on that building, to be quite honest about it. And I understand that, too. But so that was my point.
So, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Cruz, or Commissioner Cruz, I agree with everything you're saying. The one thing that I was getting at is the $600,000 we're going to have to add to it is what worries me. Before we jump into it, and I think the chairman put it good when he said, let's just investigate those options and make really sure we want to do it. Because I really do agree with you. I think we do need a new building, and that would be best for the long run, long term. I agree with you 100%. I just want to make sure we dive into it, we're happy that we all dove into it.
Well, and I respect that, I do. But my point is we've already left a diving board. We dove.
Anybody else?
Commissioner, Mr. Chairman, when we discussed the plan in the meeting, we decided that we would do the plan. Which the plan, they had already spent, how much money they had already spent before we became commissioners on the plan. But we didn't spend like $20,000-something, and I know the last time we sent it back. But the thing is, we sent it back to get what we knew the cost would be. sometimes you spend a little money to make sure you can afford something, you know. And I ain't saying that the county can't afford another $1 million or $500,000 loan. I ain't saying that we can't. But the question is, do we want to? You know, we're making $14,000 on the post office. Post office is not the only option, maybe not the only option. But if they come in and next year and close down the post office, everybody sees what's going on with the internet. We're going to be out of $14,000. Plus, we're going to have $400,000 mortgage that we're going to have to pay over there. Where if we would take the $700,000 now, pay the mortgage off, and take $300,000 and renovate the post office, if they will even entertain that. I don't know if they'll entertain it or not. It is a building that you can expand on. It is a bit, so what? It's got mailboxes in. You can tear mailboxes out. That's part of the renovation. I do it all the time.
We paid the post office off.
I think we still.
Yeah, it was 6%. We paid it off.
It's paid off. And not do the other thing.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah, I know.
You saved the money from that.
The other thing I'd like to point to the board is the mortgage on, or the payment on the courthouse will be, I want to say, 4 years. Right at 4 years left on that, $200,000. You know, by the time you get to this here, you're looking at probably 2 years left on that. There's another source of revenue to pay that. But just food for thought.
I'm not knocking building the new building. I'm just saying we need to be open to other ideas and spending money. Well, we don't have to. If we can take, I thought the post office was still over $400,000. I didn't know we paid it off. That's even sweeter. I mean, you got $600,000 to renovate the post office, to make additions and offer alterations that you have to.
Anything else from the board?
Thank you, Chair Swanson.
I think this would be a really good time. I have two speaker cards on this, and I would like to hear from them. Mr. Jack Baker, representing Lee and Baker Properties.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. My name is Jack Baker, Jr., president, partner of Lee and Baker Properties. My address is 1219 Pine Circle, McClinney, Florida. This discussion has left me a little bewildered about a couple of things. Number one, that you're entertaining $500,000 to $1 million worth of debt when we're $2.2 million in the hole with our current budget and last year's budget, with no ideas other than trying to raise revenue of closing that gap. It appears to me, and the biggest driving force behind that deficit is our corrections budget. And it appears to me the first thing you ought to undertake is see if the judicial circuit would entertain giving you back your current, your old jail. My partner and I had the privilege of meeting with the sheriff about 3 weeks ago concerning your deficit and the corrections budget, and he assured us he was going to do whatever he could to help the citizens of Baker County and you all overcome that, and specifically talked about moving 50 trustee inmates over to the old jail. Well, now that doesn't even seem like a feasible option based on that MOU.
And when, while you're right there, is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Part of the plan that I read for this big construction is that's in a 10-year plan for the jail. So I'm not so sure that with the help and the leadership of the court that we might be able to use that jail for 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years until we can get everything, all our ducks in a row, and get some cash flow going through so we can provide that extra courthouse facility. Because that's definitely in the 10-year plan, the old jail.
The 10-year, turning it over to them?
Yes. You're talking about taking the whole block. But
right.
Of course, that building was first.
Right.
These two buildings
that.
Will be second.
Right.
And that, to me, just looking at the plan, was part of the 10-year plan.
Right.
And so, I mean, we're only 7 years in it right now. Right?
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem. I understand that part, too. But, you know, part of my discussion, I wanted them to understand the dire straits that our your budget is in and this economy is in. I, You know, every time you pick up the paper, there's another business in this county that's folding up shop. Food Line just closed, and those employees are going to lose their jobs. New River, they closed a prison down there at New River, and I'm sure we had some county residents that were employees down there. And this dire economic times in this county, and to suggest to this commission to borrow money to build a building during these times, to be honest with you, I'm a little appalled about it. When I pick up the paper and the sheriff says major crime is down in our community, I wonder why you need more space right now. I was on the planning committee that did the expansion on the old courthouse when we added on where the clerk's office and the new courtrooms are. I was on that committee at the time as a citizen. And, you know, this isn't the time for us to be spending more money, borrowing more money when we're $2.2 million in the hole and have no idea how we're going to cover that deficit. And I think that's the first place you need to start. And if we get nowhere in renegotiating the use of the old jail, give them back their $800,000 and tell them we're sorry. Times are different today than they were when we signed that MOU, and we might need to do something different. I urge you to consider all the options.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Two things here. I just want to, one is to clear, to make sure that me and Mr. Baker's talked about this. The revenue, looking at revenue, has not been my only option to address budget deficits, and you know that. And the board knows that. So I just want to go on record saying that I don't want no one leaving here thinking that me or the rest of the board is looking at revenue, generating additional revenue as the only way to offset budget deficits. We had a in-depth discussion about that, and I'm just not going to be labeled that way and not respond to it. So, you know, it's still a multi-pronged attack as far as the deficit goes, and revenue, generating revenue from taxpayers should be the last step in that process.
Thank you, Mike.
And
go ahead.
Other question that he addressed, and we'd have to ask Judge Lott if she would to readdress the board, and that would be, is that an option? Is it an option to give back the $800,000 and the board back off of it to the previous board's agreement?
If you would like.
Judge, wherever you would like.
I think a fair analogy to, can you just say, forget it, give the money back? To me, that it is fair to analogize that to a mortgage proportion. When you buy a house and sign a contract and make payments, you are committing to follow through on that. 15-year plan, 30-year plan. And you have a contract, and your credibility is on the line, and your financial record is on the line. And you cannot undo that contract, and you cannot renege on that contract, and you can't walk away from that contract. Now, that's part of the reality, and then, of course, nationwide, we're seeing foreclosure all over the place. So can I tell you you can get out of the contract? My answer to you would be no, you can't get out of the contract. But the reality is you can fail to comply with the contract. But I believe that the consequences would be far greater than giving back. You know, like you said, $650,000 is remaining, perhaps, and you got to come up with the other $150,000. Then, are there additional costs and ramifications for trying to undo what the legislature and the Supreme Court and the county? I believe that there would be, but I don't know what those would be. I believe that it would be akin to getting in litigation, and then we have to see where the fallout goes. So it's not a simple, well, never mind. You can't unring the bell, so to speak. You can't unfire the gun. It just doesn't go back in there. Doesn't go that way. Is there any other question I might try to answer?
Not at this point. I just want to make sure there's no misunderstandings and everyone leaves here tonight. And I appreciate your willingness to come back.
I do have one other question. Is there any imminent need for the jail? I don't recall how it's to be used or whether there's a need for that now or whether the court has the money to make whether the renovations that would be necessary to turn the jail in and use it as the court plan suggests.
Mr. Brand, you remind me that we can differ on the definition of imminent. So without trying to define it in terms of days or weeks or months, I will tell you that it is important for there to be sufficient holding cell capacity in the courthouse or in the adjacent space. Now, of course, in fall 2009, in part of the updates of the Memorandum of Understanding, a number of us toured that current jail space, and again, it becomes a complicated issue of how can it best and most efficiently and cost effectively be utilized. Mr. Anderson, I believe it is, with the construction experience, I think you said something regarding the cost of renovation and how you have to calculate that. Housing people in an incarceration is not cheap and it's not simple. So how can it best be utilized to meet this memorandum of understanding? Yes, that is part of the interpretation. That is part of the planning process. That is part of the long-range 10-year plan, I think, is partly what you said. Does that answer your question?
It does. I guess the bottom line question is, would you be willing to renegotiate the use of the jail to see if concurrently, while we meet the needs of the court for additional holding space when that occurs, that we can continue or start using it for trustees? And that, I believe, probably addresses some of the cost of renovation for us to make it usable to house county trustees, will also benefit the court system in terms of us incurring the cost to make it, to renovate it so it's usable for as a holding cell as well.
Well, I don't know. I'm stumbling here because I don't know. Without looking at the memorandum of understanding, without looking at the 10-year plan, without saying how can this all fit together in the way it was intended, without us wasting the 100,000 that's already been done and redoing it and all the means, I can't answer that one off the top of my head. I think, as you are saying, I want this to work for everybody, just like you all do, just like all your predecessors do, just like all the prior chief judges. It's supposed to work for everybody, but having it work for everybody is not that simple.
And Chief Judge, may help answer your question. Is the part of spending the money, the Burns grant over there, was it was a two-pronged process, but one was a renovation of the holding cell areas to help accommodate the sheriff so they don't transport all day. They make one trip. Right. And if I'm not mistaken, it is their intentions to. They're beginning to try to implement that plan as early as maybe.
And I was trying to wait on a good point to interject and give that update since we're talking about the use of the facility. Met with Major Finley again today. Depending on some IT issues, and I see Clint in the room, it could be as early as next Tuesday, if not most likely the following Tuesday, then they'll be over there, housing inmates for court appearance, which going through the Public Safety Coordinating Council, which made the recommendation in the jail and helped really bring forward the recommendation of this full board on here's what we need to do with the building. That was the predominant use of using it for court
that's right. And so to go back, I wanted to let the chairman know, he made a comment earlier about the grant money that we used. We fix and see the benefit of that. It takes a while to get stuff in place, not to house no one there over tonight, but to be able to make one move to move the inmates who have court appearance on that day. They will come there that morning and basically be there for the duration and then go back. So it is fixing to begin being used for what the board knew and figured it would be.
I had that understanding, but I'm not sure why it couldn't be used for both.
Well, because if we go back to when that came before the safety committee, it's housing. Housing, you have to comply with a whole boatload of more regulations as opposed to temporary holding. So when someone's going to live there, because the building was actually vacated, now to go back and re-vacate to live there, you've got to now come into compliance with all the rules that are in place at the time when you want to come back into it.
Okay. And we're not there?
Not as far as living,
no. So even if we got an agreement with our corrections that they would like to start doing that, we're not set up to do it.
Major Finley told me today there would be some additional improvements needed to house inmates overnight. And one of the issues you're going to have, too, is when you start running 24/7 operations, you've got to have administrative or office space. The court has made the decision to locate probationary. All the office space where everybody was, when it was the sheriff's office, the jail, all that's gone and not available. You got a seat for someone to operate that board, and you've got, you know, hallway space for a guard, which is sufficient for what they're going to do. It's not probably laid out the best. I mean, it wasn't laid out good to start with. It's why they wanted a new jail to house inmates 24/7. I'll tell you, you know, as far as what I recall from the plan, it was court holding facilities and then look at some work release type program where instead of being there during the day, you're there at night. But it was still, I don't remember the discussion ever being that this jail is going to be ready to hold inmates 24/7.
Right. That's right.
Any questions?
You would have to have medical staff there? We're talking, we're getting into detail.
Not for temporary housing, not if you're using it for the holding cell.
But if you're going to be 24/7.
When you use the word housing, you got to provide, you're going to have medical there, and you're going to have some dietary support there.
Well, the corrections people know what you're going to have there. And that's what they're looking at. That's what they were going to come up and make a suggestion to the board of how many people they could keep there, and this is what the cost is going to be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like that right now is even an option because the building's not even ready for that.
Yeah, that's correct.
But in that proposal, I think, you know, Major Finley and his staff would identify, here's the five improvements you need to make. I don't know exactly what the number is.
They give us a cost breakdown of what it would cost to man it and just that other area. It was pretty close to what we're doing now. I don't remember what it was
per day. When do you remember getting that?
Per day.
Recently? You got that?
But it's been
public safety coordinating council time. Brian Bishop presented. I want to say it was around $72.
That's what I was thinking. $72, $74 a day is what it would
be. Well, I'm paying what, 84?
You're paying 82 roughly, a little less than 82 by the time you figure your discount in.
Right.
So
okay.
84, 72 is the set price.
Thank you, Josh. I have one more speaker card on this, and we're going to hear from Ms. Sharon Pang.
Sharon Patrick, PO Box 1252, Glen St. Mary, Florida, 32040. Good evening. I've got several comments to make. First, I'd like to make a correction on the record. Our cost of our inmates is $83.03 a day. If you start adding a dollar a day per 120 inmates, it comes up to a lot of money at the end of the year. Just got several different statements I'd like to make. I'm curious to know when the sheriff's annex was vacated back there. It was occupied by state attorney first, then it was vacated by then. Sheriff's filled in, and then was vacated 3 years ago. Why didn't the judicial system take it over then? Then we would have complied with one part of this agreement. But we, county, spent some money getting our planning back there, and, you know, it's Mr. Bob's back there. But that was money spent that we shouldn't have spent. We should have turned it over to the judicial system at that time because everybody else had cramped offices, but we had offices at that time. Is that right, Mr. Preston? They were cramped, but we had them. That would save us one step in the process. And again, I'll say what Mr. Baker said. We're borrowing from the reserve. We're looking at special assessments. We're talking back to the taxpayers. And when we're saying we want to take your money where we can build another building, when we've got buildings here, yes, the Ag Center would be probably not the best place. But guess what? We can petition off and we can make it work. I mean, these are hard times. It's not time to come to the taxpayers again for money. I was just wondering with Judge Lott if we could do a 10-year plan from today and give us a 10-year period. Surely the economy would be better, and then we would have some kind of progress we could make yearly, report back to them. That way we stay on the plan without going in debt. With the post office also, it's just to be a statement. They're in such a financial bind. We do have three other post offices in our county, and they're almost all the same size. So that doesn't just leave McClenny. I think if the post office would be smart, somewhere along the line, they're going to find out which is the cheapest to stay in. Just a point that you might want to consider there. There's what kind of interest is this money bringing us? This $689,000, what kind of income is it bringing us? Is it in an interest bearing? Is there money market? Is there money to be made off of it? And I agree with Commissioner Michael Cruz. Yes, we've always spent $111,000. But when we paid $33,000 an acre out there, and you take the 25% discount that we'd get now because of the depreciation, sell that 5 acres, pay that back. Go elsewhere, and let's go with a building or renovate something we can find that's feasible. McClenny Products would be an ideal place. I mean, by now they should be able to negotiate a price down. And there's room. I mean, there's more than enough room. We'd never use the whole building, I wouldn't think. Great parking. I mean, there's options we have with the economy. There's empty buildings out there left and right. We need to search. We do not need to go into debt. I mean, it's going to be a hard time for anybody that's running this time and anybody running the next time. You come back to these taxpayers and asking them for money when you're going out and spending it a bit above and beyond what we've got by the judicial system. These are just some things that I wish you'd think about. And just to say this back to Mr. Mike Cruz, I know we're getting bruised, but I can guarantee you I'd rather be bruised than broken. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Again, I'm going to address a couple of things. It's, McClenny Products building, last time I checked on that, they was wanting over $2 million for it. Price might have changed now. I don't know if it's changed that much or not. So I do want to mention that. But also, the reason the money went over to renovate the old annex building is we made room. We moved the PD, the public defender, come in. So we was coming in compliance. It wasn't that step. It was this step here. So I don't want the folks to leave with the impression that a step toward compliance was it made. And I'd venture to say that any prudent thinking person should come to the thought process that we'd have been better off to do this building out here 3 years ago and instead of messing with it today. And Ms. Padgett, being the commissioner up here, is more adamant about containing cost and expenses. But I apply a degree of common sense to my decisions, and also the taking into consideration of future growth and not what's immediate. So, your comment about being broke and this, that, and other, well, you know, there ain't nobody else up here that speaks no louder than I do about that. And I think the board is in agreement that we need to address cost. And once again, I don't know why it is. It seems like maybe I'm the only one hearing me say it. Going to the taxpayers to get revenue is the last step. But I want folks to understand, whether you vote for me or not is irrelevant when it comes to this. This building belongs to the taxpayers of Baker County. This is to provide a service for you, the citizens. It's not where I'm going to sleep at night. So I just want to make sure people understand, this ain't nothing that none of us wants to be in this position, but we are here. And this building belongs to the taxpayers, whether this building or any other building. I don't care if it's a porta potty. If it's paid for out of the taxpayers' money, it belongs to the people of Baker County. So it just seems to me like it's something that somewhere they indicate that it's something that they're not getting any good from. The citizens of the county is going to benefit from anything that this board spends money on.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, just in
trying to keep this moving along. Can I get you guys kind of corralled into a clear next step? I know we had the one we discussed earlier about meeting with the post office and seeing where they're at. But I was looking for something a little more definitive, and I heard workshops, I heard committees, I heard a lot of ideas thrown out, and never saw anything really pushed at the forefront. You know, Judge Lott said she wanted to see progress. I think that's the clearest way to show her is get some things down on paper. Here's what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks, 4 months. You know.
You know, there's not a clear path that I could tell you. Okay, the easiest thing for me to say is, okay, we'll set the committee up. And then we'll study. I mean, that's government at its best, right there. Right? Whether that's what we need to do or not, I'm not sure. That's the reason I'm hesitant to give you that direction.
If I may make a proposal, how about we move ahead with the one meeting we know we need to have? Because I do think that sets some direction and sets some conversation. Report back. So whenever that meeting is, if it's next week, if it's 3 weeks out, depending on when we get it, it's an agenda item the immediately following board meeting. And then we'll set, and then I think your paths start to become a little more clear and start to become more narrow on what options are available to you.
I like that. I agree. Because
what meeting is this now?
We're going to try to meet with the Postal Service people.
I mean, have they even mentioned that?
It's rumored that they're going to close some buildings. If McClenney's one of them, if Sharon's square footage is kind of accurate, they're all about the same, and they're going to close McClenney, then we're going to lose $14,000 a month. Would it be wise then to look at maybe doing something there? I mean, I don't know, but if they say absolutely not, McClenney's going to be the last place we close. Then I'm thinking, you know, we're not going to void the contract with them. We're going to take their $14,000 a month, and we may, the property's paid off. We may turn that money right into the building. But I don't know. But that would give us a little bit more direction. That'll give us a little bit of clarity on where this Postal Service thing is. At the same time, look at other options that may come abroad, may come to surface. And unless the board, because we are a board, I just sat in the middle because they put this hammer in my hand.
I'm scared you're going to hit me.
You probably need it a lot, but I haven't had to yet. Does that sound reasonable?
I agree with that, Mr. Chairman.
I agree with it, but I think we don't need to just look at McClenney. I think if they're going to close Glenn, I mean, that could be a viable option also. Okay. It don't have to be just McClenney. But
does the county own the Glen building?
No, that's the thing I was talking about. If we could convince them, if they want to close Glen, is to move McClenney to Glen. So that's more central in the county anyway. And then that would free up.
Just tell them, convince them to close McClenney,
right.
If they're going to close one.
You get into convincing. I'm going to tell you. Everyone's aware of this.
I know.
But that post office, where it's strategically located as far as the people's use, and you advocate, you go to before them and you advocate that it close something, is that convenient to people? I won't be the only one.
You mean closing the post office would be a bad idea is what you're thinking if we try to suggest that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I thought that's what you probably said.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you like this. I'm in this thing to save the county money. If they're going to get mad at me because they got to drive 5 more miles to pick up their mail, that's fine. But if I can save them $2 million, they wouldn't be happy about
that. Well, I can tell you.
And I ain't got to raise their taxes.
Mr. Anderson, I think you've seen from this standpoint to this point, it's irrelevant how much you work to try to save them money, they still going to be that way about
you. Well, we're not going to go there.
That's fine.
We're not going to go there, partner.
That's fine with me.
All right. Next on the agenda, Judge Lott, are you okay with that right now? Us looking into these options, that got a meeting set.
Yeah, meeting set.
Okay. All right.
Did I understand this is on the agenda for next month?
We're
not working necessarily with the local post office, but when we get the meeting scheduled, whenever that meeting happens, the meeting that immediately follows that will be the meeting that's discussed again.
Okay.
So that could be as early as February 7th and as far out as however long it takes to get everybody in the same place. I feel comfortable that it'll be one of the two meetings in February.
I think the post office is hurting like everybody else. They'll be wanting to talk.
All right. Everybody have a clear understanding of what we're going to do right now.
We're going to see what the post office thinks about closing McLennan.
We're going to find out their plans.
Yeah. See what they're thinking, and then we're going to decide what we're going to do from there. I think that's a good...
Because if we have that meeting, they say, yes, that's the number one spot we're going to cut.
Then it's not an
Then it kind of changes the way we look at it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Moving right along. John Belovich. If you will, state your name and address, please, sir.
Yes, sir. My name's John Belovich. I live at 725 Milton Dale Road here in McLennan. I've been a Baker County resident since 1981. I'm a sergeant for the Department of Corrections, been employed there for over 23 years. Did 15 years at the FSP, worked with Mike there when he was a sergeant there. 7.5 years at UCI, and I've been over there at Baker for approximately a year. And what I'd like to address to the board here is my concerns about the privatization of the new reentry camp. The reentry camp had a scheduled opening of October of this year, but a memo has come out from Governor Scott's office, and it stated that it's going to be delayed because of budget constraints. But he said when it does open, it is going to be a private facility. Now, when this board approved the zoning for the construction of that camp, the board, as well as the citizens of Baker County, were under the impression that it was going to be run by the state. And there were certain assurances, I believe, it was given to a family that lives west of that facility. They were concerned about safety and everything, that it would be safely run and everything like that. You can't give those assurances with a private company. A lot of officers who get fired from the Department of Corrections, dealing dope with inmates, bringing in contraband, green money, cell phones, the state gives them the opportunity to resign. So they resign. Guess where they go get a job at? CCA. I don't think the county commission wants a facility run their county being run by such people. I've contacted Ms. Atkins' office and Senator Dean's office, and both of them are on the same page as I am on this. They're against any privatization of any existing state facilities, and they also assure me they were against the privatization of the reentry camp. And anyway, two things I like from this commission here today is that Ms. Atkins says she's going to have a meeting with the Baker County Commission, Bradford County Commission, and Union County. And also they're going to have Mr. Tucker, who's the Secretary of DOC there, to talk about these prison closings. And as you all know, they're closing down New River and the New River Work Camp. And these officers, a lot of the officers are going to be laid off, live here in Baker County. They're Baker County citizens. We need to keep that reentry camp a state prison to provide gainful employment for these officers that are going to be laid off. And I'd like you all to bring that to Mr. Tucker's attention. And if you all could pass a resolution like you did about the state hospital, about the impending privatization of that, to tell the legislature and the governor, we don't want these facilities, existing facilities, to be private, nor do we want this reentry camp that's under construction to be under private contract. And that's basically it.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. John? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Any comments from the board about possibly having that document, stating that the board's not in favor of the privatization of this new facility?
I would support that, and also I'm going to be in the legislature session, legislative day, and I would like to have that document with me when I went, so I could personally deliver it to who needs to be delivered to on how Baker County stands on privatization. I'm not sure we're going to have a meeting, though, before then.
You can always call a special meeting.
Well, this is February 1st, is legislative day for the commissioners, and I would like to have that with me when I went over to Tallahassee.
I know myself, when we approved that zoning, I was under the impression it was the state land. There was no doubt in my mind.
Well, with that, we'll get direct County Manager Thompson to have that prepared for us. And February the 1st is the day you're going?
I will be there February 1st. I'll leave it before then.
Okay. We'll get it to you before then.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. John.
Thank you, sir.
Moving right along, County Manager, amendments.
Sir, first item I have before you this evening is amendment number 2 to the second memorandum of understanding for the race at Catalyst sites. I have Mr. Darrell registered here if you guys have any specific questions. In reviewing through this, though, it doesn't appear this is anything that I think directly impacts us. We were one of the 14 counties who did enter into the original memorandum of understanding, I want to say back in July 2008. They found a couple of Scribner's errors, and then another issue that had to do with Columbia County and Suwannee County that needed to be corrected. So, therefore, this amendment is going out to all 14 counties who originally signed on, but the issues that are being addressed, I think, are more relevant to some of the other part or other players. I would defer to Mr. Register if you had anything additional to add, but please, you, Mr. Chair.
Any questions that Mr. Register might would answer from the board? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the board?
I got a quick question for Darrell.
Where
it says, in order for Suwannee and Columbia to compete with other out-of-state communities, would we want to say Baker right there too, or am I?
Well, in this case, Commissioner, they're just addressing the two Catalyst sites. There's one in Suwannee County and there's one in Columbia County. Suwannee County and Columbia County, as well as Baker County, already have the mechanism in place to do ad valorem tax abatement or refunds or whatever you want to call it. When they're working on their private county sites or sites owned by private developers within those counties, what they're addressing here are the two Catalyst sites. And I know you wasn't a commissioner, so just a brief explanation. The 14-county RASIC group created these two Catalyst sites. And in the memorandum of understanding that was originally signed, there is a revenue sharing agreement where once these sites are developed, the ad valorem tax gains from those sites will be shared amongst the 14 counties. Okay. And if memory serves me correct, Baker County's share of that would have been somewhere around 5%. Okay, so for example, or if there's a huge distribution center of some sort that was to locate on the Catalyst site in Columbia County or Suwannee County. Mm-hmm. Once the county recoups its cost for developing that site, then the gains in ad valorem taxes, meaning the new taxes over the current taxes,
right,
that gain would be shared with the 14 counties. And in the original memorandum of understanding or agreement, it said specifically that all 14 counties or all parties to the agreement had to approve the abatement of ad valorem taxes, since the benefit to the county was to the gain to be shared.
Okay.
Is good with that? Any other questions? And we need just an approval to
motion to approve Amendment 2, the MOA to race at Catalyst site.
Have a motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next item is a little more for us, focus on the subject of the collection site, more affectionately known as the dumps in the county. I'll tell you where this started at. Was actually looking at a question came up about why the dump hours on Wednesday were split, and what it was causing the site attendants to do was they have to go to work 4 hours in the morning, commute back home, and then come back 4 hours in the afternoon. Gas is $3.50, pushing $4 a gallon, and that's where the original analysis started looking. What it then turned into, one, I gave you guys all a copy. I'm not sure if everybody even knows the hours all the dumps are open. That's become a constant topic of conversation. But, you know, in looking at the dump operation hours, I got to thinking, you know, if we wanted to look at making a change to one, you look at it across the board, and then it jumped to the conversation we've all been having of what are we going to do to rein in cost? Is that something we want to even put on the table of, you know, hey, the dump's currently open 39 hours a week, plus you have an extra site that's open, I want to say 8 hours on Mondays. Is that an area where you want to look at adjusting those hours and resulting in less total hours? And then you have the issue also of, you know, you have Monday you have all sites closed but one, but on Thursday just everything's closed. So where that differentiation comes from, I mean, I kind of like the site and the concept of always having one site open. In fact, I used it yesterday, did a bunch of work and drove all the way out to Kyler because I needed to take some stuff to the collection site. Would have been off on Thursday, I'd have just had to deal with it. So, and we'll start this kind of in sequential order. One, you guys even interested in changing the way that the hours, because I don't even know when these hours were set. Josh, do you know when they were changed? This is the way it's always been since I can remember. The upside is a lot of people can't remember when it's open now, so changing it may not have a huge impact on them.
Sure.
But if you're not interested in changing it, so this is the way it's always been, it's worked good, we don't have any problems, and we probably don't need to discuss any further.
I'm interested in changing.
That's what I wanted to do.
And when we looked at it as a whole, it could be a cost savings to the county. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people don't believe it, and Michael echoes this all the time, but we are looking to cut costs. If we can cut that, we figured it up at what it costs us an hour. And if we can cut it 5 hours a year, a week, 10 hours a week, 9 hours a week, it's not going to fix the $2.2 million deficit, but it's a step in the right direction. That's what we're looking at now.
Spoke into each hour of operation is $4,268.16 annually. So,
$4,268?
Right. That's based on 52 weeks a year, based on the current schedule. So that means if you went from 38 or 39 hours currently, if you just said, you know what, we're not going to open at 6 a.m. anymore on Wednesdays, we're not going to open at 7, you just save $4,200 across your total annual budget. The frustrating part that I shared with Commissioner Gordon Cruz is in looking at this, I told him, if you went from 39 to 30 hours, you save $38,000. You got to come up with 10 more of these ideas to even get to $400,000. And that's the frustrating part. So I know a lot of people think we don't see the enormity of the challenge we're faced with. But here's where I think it gets frustrating, you know, sitting up here. And I know I've said, you hear us talk more about revenue because these things sometimes have to happen with individual conversations and take a lot more legwork in the back. But it's frustrating. You put in a lot of work. And, you know, I don't know. Cutting back 30 hours would be a pretty substantial cut, and you still want to save $38,000. I say that only, not that it's not a lot of money, but it's a rounding error in $2.5 million. I guess that's the frustrating part. And it's not meant to say that we don't need to look at it, but, you know, guys, if there's something I can bring you that says you can save $1 million doing this, it should have been done a long time ago. This is probably going to be the first of many type things when you do this. This is how we're going to have to chip away at some of this. There's some bigger issues that I think we all know that we're going to have to address on a larger scale. But it's going to be the 20,000 here, the 40,000 there, of how we're going to have to chip away at a lot of this, because that's what's available to us without more substantial action. In looking at that, I think so. You're okay with changing or reevaluating the hours of operation. What about the total hours? Is you guys comfortable looking at a reduction hours or going to, to go to anything less than 39?
I'm interested in that.
Are we working 30? Is this 39 now?
39 hours.
One of them is 47 hours. Kyler.
Yeah, Kyler. Monday next year. And that's not figured in the 4268. So that is the kind of exception in the roundup. I just looked at everything else.
How much is 1 hour? $15.
It's $10.26. Yeah.
$10.26 is 1 hour.
Right. And we have.
Okay.
Now, are these full-time employees or part-time employees or how?
There is employees.
This is
both. I know they're not all.
Both.
Both. Are there benefits to being a full-time employee? Or is it basically the same as part-time?
Yes, it's the same.
Josh, what are you doing on the 9 to 6 piece shift for lunch for the guys? Y'all go out and relieve them, or they just eat on the job?
They got plenty of food there.
So, all right. So it's a 9-hour shift. The guys there for 9 hours.
Free food.
That's okay. One of the first things that I would like to see us look at, and we want to work with you too. Okay. There's concern that there's not a lot of traffic in these dump sites Wednesday morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And it is incurring more cost on these guys that, I guess that's their hourly rate, $10, or that's what we pay.
Right.
And if we can help them, I think it will be a good place to help them. One of the attendants told me he may get 2 or 3 people max in that morning shift. It's on a weekday, and it opens at 6 a.m. And his suggestion was not change the not cut the hours, but make them from 12 to 8 instead of a split session. And that would give you a late evening. He said that's way more user time is in the afternoon after work on a weekday than it is the 6 a.m. And so that's one reason I asked CJ to take a look at this. Because, you know, if it'll help those guys out, they live right here in this county too. And I think we all know how tough times are, and if we can help with just making one simple little thing for them, I mean, I think it's worth it. But cutting the hours abroad, it'll be just a couple of hours a day. And no, it's not a big fix the budget significant amount, but it's $38,000. I think it's definitely something we could look at, and we could always readdress it. I don't think there's a perfect understanding of how it works right now anyway. I don't know why Monday's open at Kyler, but nobody's open on Thursday. Jonathan, could you help me with that?
That was Robert.
The old Baker County thing.
Wasn't everything closed on Thursday? Long time ago.
Well, I don't mind it being closed on Thursday. I don't mind that.
Something set up with Robert and Dad and whatever year they've taken over between Robert County Commissioners and Dad.
Okay.
At the time, so I mean, it can be revisited, and you know.
Well, you know, and see it, Jay and I had conversation. But I kind of like having Kyler open on Monday when nobody else is open, because sometimes, as busy as I am, I'll load my pickup truck full of dirt, full of garbage, and I'll get out to Seal Bridge and say, oops. And I don't want to sit there for 2 or 3 days because I work 12-hour shifts and nothing's open after that. So I drive out to Kyler. So I don't think that's such a bad thing, having one of them open every day. So we might even be able to do more than just
on Thursday.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's an option.
You mentioned the 6 to 10 on Wednesday, not used. You could just move that to Thursday and make it a 4 to 8 right there. So it's open Wednesday 4 to 8 and Thursday 4 to 8. I don't know who you have at 6 to 10 that would.
And still save.
They may be mad. I don't know if you're going to have throwing trash at the closed gate.
That's the problem I have.
Well, sending him out there for 4 hours of work wasn't near as much his concern as he drives out there, and then he's got to drive home. And then he's got to drive back out there again, and then he's got to drive back home. And so it's just like twice the gas getting out there, not more how long he was having to stay out there at either time. But if we are in agreement to look at this, I think it's something that you and I can workshop, or we'll bring Robert and Jonathan.
Yep. And get their input. I mean, hear from the guys who are out there. You know, if need be, we can validate some of the perceived traffic times with actual traffic counts at different sites, and come up with, you know, a recommendation. And, you know, one thing I think would be helpful,
instead of us just kind of shooting blindly, is give us a target where you think the total hours seem to be at. How many hours total do I need to be shooting for? And then I can come up with a schedule that kind of fits on that.
Are we paying any special time for Sundays, or is it regular time, straight time?
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure. Come to the podium, please. Set your name and address for me.
Josh Woods, 1218 South Fifth Street, McClendon, Florida. Maybe we can put a log with each person that works and have them total. You know, this hour, I had 7 trucks. This hour, I had 1. Maybe we can look at the log and see, because that site might only have 3 people from 4 to 8, or 6 to 8, but this site might have 24 people, you know, that come from Taylor to go to work.
I think that's a great idea, and I think that's what we would have probably came up with when we meet with you, and I think that's a good idea, because last thing you want to do is just assume.
Right, and then another thing that we don't want to do, I understand cutting the hours, but we don't want to get to where we've cut them so much that people just start throwing garbage on the side of the road or over the fence. That's the whole purpose of having it open.
Right. I think that's something we can work on.
I appreciate you coming up and giving those suggestions when we're even considering cutting your hours. That's your profit. I think that's noble of you and willing to work with us on that.
Anything else?
Yes.
Anybody else have comment? Yes, sir.
You said you want to be included in the
meeting. I will be included in that.
Okay.
If that's okay with the board. Thank you.
Good chairman.
Chairman, the last item I have before you is an update on the status of the SHIP program. I know I've had conversations with several of you at different times. Thought we're kind of far enough along, and enough has gone on, and it's good to make sure everybody understands all the information at once. As most of you should know, we did receive SHIP funding this year, but if y'all know, I haven't brought, hey, we're going to do anything before you to go build a SHIP house. The reason being is that there's been some errors found in the annual audit reports. And I think it's more accounting errors. We don't think any money's missing. We're not sure it was counted for appropriately. Yeah, but I'm trying to make sure that I'm speaking outside, and I think it sounds like I'm implying something criminal stuff. I think paperwork wasn't completed appropriately. There's no money missing. No one's stolen anything.
I can hardly believe that about this program.
Well, but we are having to go with a state audit. In fact, we have requested technical assistance from the state, because we've had a difficult time figuring out between what was submitted and what our internal financial records show, and then also what the state shows. So you have 3 different pieces of data, and none of them are matching. And we went back 3 years, and we may have to go more, but I'm very hesitant to spend any money from the SHIP program and find out. I'll throw a number out. We owe $30,000, whatever it is. Similar to FEMA and some of the other things, we've had to pay money back because we misspent. So we've been hesitant. I didn't realize it was going to take quite this long. We thought we could get it finished kind of quick, but now that we've had to call in the state, we realize really how bad it is. So until we get that fixed, unless you guys tell me otherwise, I'm not going to recommend building any more SHIP houses. And I'm hoping we find out we don't know anything. It was just the numbers were in the wrong place and everybody's happy. But like I said, you don't want to commit yourself to 3 or 4 houses this year and then have to go tell someone, oh, I'm sorry, we can't build your house for you. Speaking of houses, there are currently 16 houses on the waiting list. Of the 16 houses, 5 have received SHIP funding before, and so they unfortunately falls at the bottom of the list for receiving previous assistance. We do have approximately 35 more households that may be eligible to receive CDBG funding, and we should hopefully know within the next month if we're going to get that or not, and maybe it'll help some of those families.
You have an idea of like a little time frame here, because if my memory serves me, doesn't these monies, they're on a time frame where you have to use them?
We have 3 years from this year to spend the money we received this year.
Okay. I think that's a real wise thing to do, CJ. Make sure we don't spend money and then have to pay it back. I think that's a good policy there. Anybody want to make comment towards that?
When do you think you will know?
Reese heard back from the state that they did grant our technical assistance. You have to request help to get help from the state. That was approved. So they were getting us scheduled. I think we received 14 hours of help, I believe it was, which they felt was sufficient. They reviewed our situation and our files. They thought that's how long it would take them to get through it. Maurice and Debbie spent several days trying to figure this out and just couldn't. I said, you know, Maurice, in his defense, inherited files from someone else, so he doesn't have an in-depth knowledge of things that were done historically. Debbie has the financial, you know, budget system that, you know, just spits out numbers, and they don't sync up, and none of that matches what we have in Tallahassee. I'm thinking in the next 2 weeks, depending on how soon we get our technical assistance, we should have a clearer picture of what we're looking at, and then, you know, we'll, by then, be able to tell what the necessary steps are moving forward.
And thinking back on the Council on Agents situations that they had, getting the proper documentation in order to spend the monies that they were spending, it took a while. It took a while because it was complicated. So I would rather you take a little longer than you have and get it right. And so somebody's got a full understanding, or at least a pretty good understanding, so we don't have to go through this again.
Yeah, just unfortunately, when you, in these days and times, you start saying, well, you know, money's not accounted for appropriately, or this, that, and other people jump to, well, somebody stole money. That in no way appears to be the case. It just wasn't documented appropriately.
Yeah. That money can't be spent on administrative building or nothing like that, can it? No.
We can apply for ship funding for it.
We can apply for it. Mr. Thompson, do you have anything else?
No, sir, that's all I have.
Okay, I have one speaker card from Mr. Charlie Yance. If you would, Lance, if you'd come to the podium, please, sir. And state your name and address for the record, please, sir.
I didn't realize I would be within a group like this. I'm glad you met. I would have had my church suit on, too.
Oh, I don't worry about it. I want you to come just like you are, Charlie.
And I'm not a very good talker, but I got a hold of Mark here approximately somewhere about 5 years ago about my road. I live back Pine Top. I have on numerous occasions pulled my daughter's kids out and their friends out when it's raining. And when it's bad, the road gets extremely bad. Now we have a power plant back there. It's approximately 5 acres. I seen Mr. Gordon this Sunday to let him go up and see the equipment, but it had already shoved out early that morning, about 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, my mother said. They have cranes. I'm not saying they drive bad, but they have cranes. They have this, you know, and it makes the sand extremely deep. My nephew come down from Georgia, who had a job to come see me on his motorcycle. He dropped it on the way in to see me and on the way out. And it's only a one-way in and a one-way out. I've had that road closed. I've had it where I haven't been able to get out on bad days. And I've had to drag, I bought a four-wheel drive Z71 where I've had to drag people out of my way to get out and go to work. And I'm not saying to repave it, or not repave it, it's never been paved. But can't, when we're redoing these roads, digging up like Smoky Road or something that's already been paved, take some of that pavement down to us and make it comfortable. I'm planning on bidding. I know it seems a little bit funny, but it's not when you live there.
Excuse me, can I say something?
I'm hold on just a minute, you can.
You know, that's my concern. I would like to know. I don't know if you remember me calling you.
I do, but I know that we have worked on it some. Robert had put some at the front from the railroad to the curb or something. And I don't think it was you that called me this time, or somebody else. Was it you? Okay. And they said the worst, they were telling me one of the worst parts was that from the railroad, I think, to the, I want to say where the.
It's all the way down.
Yeah.
You need to drive now.
I have drove it many times, I promise you.
We're talking about Pine Top District.
Yeah, Pine Top Road.
Because I live at 9188 Pine Top Road, and the other day I was leaving for Tampa for a seminar, And one of those trucks is like a big long truck where we go.
Where do the trucks go?
They go back to Mr. Register's dairy farm. They park back there. They go down Oakley Lane.
To redo the power lines or something? Is that what they're doing?
No, I don't know. They're located. They're driving out of Georgia or something like that. I don't know. I don't know the name of the power company. But anyways, I was leaving for a seminar and I was driving my daughter's car. I've never driven it before. Well, they're flying through the pine trees. There's a curve right in the pine trees. He had to be doing 50, 60 miles an hour. Ran me off the road, almost hit a pine tree. And what made me remind to call you Friday was because my son gets off the bus at 4 o'clock. The same big trucks are flying down the road, so they're ready to get home to their wives or whatever. Well, if the bus came before then, if they'd have slammed on their brakes to stop, they'd have hit the bus because our road is so scenic. I have grandchildren. If they get in the road, they're going to hit my grandchildren because they don't have enough time to stop because of all the sand in the road. It's bad. They have no respect for that road. And like he says, every time it rains, we get stuck. And I can't afford to buy a new truck. So I call my dad to pull them out.
I've replaced hubs on my truck. I pulled neighbors out.
And then
this has been 5 years. I've been waiting to get back. You were going to check on something in St. Augustine to put down?
Yeah, we did. We did check on that.
I'm building now. My place is paid off. I'm going to start building.
We have checked on several items, and Robert is still trying to get the funding to do it and wait on the millage to come and everything else. So maybe we can. I don't know anything about the trucks.
How did we get such a big place back there and not do something about the main road you're using back there?
I didn't know there was a.
I would really like to know that.
Yeah, we're going to look into that too, Charlie. I just got a little update on that.
And see somebody smiling on the board when I have something bothers me a little bit. You know, because
don't let it bother you, Charlie. Because we're going to look into it for you.
It was me that was smiling. I was smiling because I've heard everything you've said, and we've made every attempt to get some millions and all. There's not another board member up here that works harder. We all the same as far as these roads. It was actually, you said something that was funny, and I don't even remember now what it was, but it wasn't meant to be taken away from your situation. I drive the roads too. I go to them too. There ain't a road in this county that somebody ain't called about that I hadn't drove on. There is some millings up on off by the wire mill site. I don't know if all of them's been designated to go somewhere. But Pine Top Road ain't no different. I know exactly what you mean. I go down there and pull people on other roads too. So the smile is a result of your ability to be a comedian. Not at the plot of your circumstances. So you mistook that.
And Charlie, we're going to
not that I'm a comedian.
Charlie, no, you're being funny.
Charlie, we're going to look into their operation. Okay.
I think that something should be done. You know, to make it to where. Well, I don't work anymore.
If they're applying by the law, there's not a lot we can do for them using a county road. But if they're doing something that they weren't intended to do, or they're causing damage to the road, we know the property owner they bought the property from. We know what they do. We'll talk to them. I'm sure we can get some help from them, because this is not all they're going to do. They're going to want to do something else. They're maybe wanting to get bigger. You even said that they might be looking to expand anyway. And they'll need some help. And most of the time when we approach somebody like that, they're willing to help us. You just got to talk to them.
Mr. Chairman, just so you know, that is contractors for Clay Electric. They're doing two things. They got two different contractors working for them. One of them is doing some limb trimming, and the other one is doing some pole replacement, and that's where they're working out of.
And they're going to have to slow down, and if they continue running big trucks in there, they're going to have to help fix the road. I mean, we'll talk to them. I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad you came. sometimes that's what it takes to bring something to the forefront. Hey, there's a problem. There's a safety issue. She's talking about her children playing on the road. And this board will look into it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Charlie.
Thank you, sir.
Anything else on this?
No, we'd like to get Robert and let him know about the situation. Maybe he can
make some
suggestions.
Yeah, he is.
When Commissioner Creed called me about it today, the gentleman was possibly coming, I rode out there. And, of course, my luck, I pull on the pine top, and I see the county grader turning around and going away from me. So I didn't get to observe the situation. However, all the roads right now are sandy, and if you do have heavy traffic on it, I'm sure it does get really bad. So I have talked to Robert. You know, we're going to go look at it and see what we can do. I mean, it's a good distance to where they're going. But we'd also, you know, and I know nobody's suggesting it, if it's a temporary problem, I'm not necessarily sure we need to go out and do something extremely drastic, you know.
He said for 5 years. That's what he said.
And what I was under the impression of the issue was the heavy trucks, which haven't been out there for 5 years.
Right.
But he said the problem's been there for 5 years.
It's just gotten worse recently because of those trucks.
And that's where we need to contact the company and find out how long they're going to be driving those trucks in there, because I'm sure that road is not set up for heavy trucks and to going in and out and in that, because it ain't a paved road. You know, I'm not sure. I'm sure we have a leg to stand on saying, hey, you tear our roads up. And so I think we need, like the chairman said, you know, we need to sit down with them and say, this is the problem that we have. You're driving your big trucks in and out of here every day, and this is not designed for no big commercial trucks to go in and out of here all the time. They might need to look at another site or do some millings or something.
We've got a good history in the past of working with companies. I know the timber companies come to mind when they're working off the dirt road. They will work with us. I mean, this is the same issue of excess traffic that's not traditional. To make it through the roads in the problem areas.
And if all they're doing is driving their trucks in there to park them at night, and they're driving out every morning to go to work, they might be willing to park them somewhere else instead of driving down that dirt road every day. So it's something we can look at. I don't believe it'll be a big issue to look at, address, talk to Robert. That's everything I have. Sam, you have anything?
No, sir.
Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Mark?
No, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Mike?
No, sir.
Okay. We received some money, a refund check from our property insurance carrier, because the county, by the graces of God, had no claims against our property this year. Amen. The amount of $28,400. And so that's good news for today. And that's all I have. Chair, accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Adjourn.
350,000, I believe.